By the time she'd been to the bridge, where the image on screen had vanished, and gotten back to her quarters, Petrus was gone. Harris didn't call him back. Later. There would be time enough later. Nothing had been settled. Not about the prince, not about Petrus. When the Sweet Delight made its last jump, they came out of the anomalous status of jump space precisely where Sirkin had intended, for which Harris gave her a nod of approval. She wished Sirkin hadn't had a lover waiting at Rockhouse Major. She'd have liked to keep her as crew.
Somebody flicked our ID beacon. Stripped it clean and fast. RSS, I'd say. Remembering the other side.
We're not fugitive, and they'd be looking for the Sweet Delight, considering...
Wish we had better long scans and a decoder that could do the same. Feels all wrong to have someone stripping our beacon when we can't strip theirs.
Mass sensors show a lot of ships, and the delays are too long to tell me where they are now.
Well, that's what I meant. Now, in the fleet, we've got... Sorry, Captain. I'm used to being on the inside of security, not outside.
We'd all best be careful if we want to stay outside a prison and not inside.
The only bad thing about Sirkin and Bunny's crew was this tension between what the ex-military crew knew and what they weren't supposed to know and couldn't share with shipmates. It would have been easier if they'd all been her former crew members. She had sent off a message when they first dropped out of FTL, with the codes given them by the Crown Minister. Now the system's outer beacons blipped the first response.
Captain, Sweet Delight, proceed on RSS escort course.
Well, they're putting us down the dragon's throat, all right.
What?
Escort course is the fastest way in system. Eats power and makes a royal everyone in the whole system can pick up. Hardly what I'd call discreet. All other traffic gives way, and we're snagged by a tug that could stop a heavy cruiser in a counterbird maneuver. Plus, we go past the heavy guns and damn near every piece of surveillance between us and Rockhouse.
Harris glared at him, and Oblo actually flushed. He knew better, and she had already warned him. Sirkin wasn't military, never had been military, wasn't ever going to be military, and he had no business explaining fleet procedure to her. But he had a thing for neat-framed, dark-haired girls, whether they liked men or not, and he had taken a liking to Sirkin. They were only halfway home, as Cecilia put it, when the escorts pulled up on either side. RSS, both of them. Harris got an exterior visual and grinned. She had once captained one of these stubby, peculiar-looking ships. Ridiculously overpowered, designed for fast maneuvers within a single system, their small crews prided themselves on flair. On distant campaigns, they traveled inside podships, even though they mounted FTL drives. The voicecom board lit. Harris flicked the lit buttons, and then a sequence which informed the caller that she had no secured channel.
Ahoy, Sweet Delight. RSS Escort Adrian Channel calling.
Captain Serrano, Sweet Delight.
You don't have any kind of secure comm?
At least that showed some discretion. Harris had been afraid they'd ask in clear if she had the Prince aboard.
Negative.
Well, we understand you have urgent need for priority docking at Rockhouse Major. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. The relevant enabling codes were in my initial transmission.
Yes, ma'am. Well, ma'am, we're here just to see you make a safe transit and chase any boneheaded civvy that doesn't listen to his traffic control updates out of your way. Our instruments show you on course.
Oblo scowled at that. With him on the board, there was no question of being off course. The counterburn maneuver, when it came, strained the resources of the Sweet Delight's artificial gravity. For one moment, Harris felt nausea, then her stomach ignored the odd sensations. Others were not so lucky. She saw a medic light go on in the prince's stateroom and in the galley. Then the internal gravity stabilized again. The tug's grapple snagged the yacht's bustle, and Petrus shut down their drive. Far faster than a commercial tug, the RSS ship shoved them toward Rockhouse Major and put them in a zero relative motion less than 100 meters away from the docking bay. Visuals, boosted several magnifications, showed the royal seal above their assigned bay and the gleaming sides of a royal shuttle and a larger deep space yacht twice the size of Sweet Delight. Grapples shot out, homing on magnetic patches on the yacht's hull. These would stabilize but not change their inward drift under docking thrusters. Paris had always enjoyed docking maneuvers, and the chance to show off at a royal berth delighted her. She eased the yacht in with neither haste nor delay until the grapples were fully retracted and the hull snugged against the access ports. Until this moment, she had spoken with the Rockhouse Major Sector Landing Control, a professional exactly like any other landing control officer, and their exchanges were limited to the necessary details of bringing the yacht in. Now another channel lit on the board. Harris steadied herself. This would be a very different official, she was sure. And even after hours reading everything Cecilia's library had on royal protocol, she wasn't sure she would get it right. Once, she could have relied on the military equivalent.
Royal Security to the Captain of Sweet Delight.
Captain Serrano here.
We need to establish a secure communications link before your passengers debark. We'll need hardwire access. Open the CJ-145 exterior panel next to the cargo access, please.
For a moment, Harris was surprised that they knew which panel to use. But of course they would. The yacht was a standard design, built at a well-known yard. They'd had weeks to get all the specs.
Just a moment, please.
She nodded at Oblo, who put the relevant circuits up on a screen and cut out all but the communications input. No reason to give them easy access to Cecilia's entire system, just in case they were of a mind to strip that too. When he grinned at her, she popped the latch and waited while security set the link up. And after all that, the formalities were no different than docking at any fairly large fleet base. Mr. Smith, the prince, had spoken to security from his suite, she presumed in some code. She herself admitted the royal security team, one technician in gray, the other in dress blues, a major commanding, who would escort the prince down to the planet. No one seemed to expect any protocol from her that she didn't already understand. But when the prince came into the lounge, Lady Cecilia was with him. Her maid followed, with a small travel case in her hand. The prince's servants, behind the maid, filled the passage with luggage.
"I'm going with him."
Harris, who hadn't expected this, stared at her. Cecilia pulled herself to her full height and looked every millimeter the rich, titled lady she was.
"The Crown Minister gave me the responsibility."
"But, madam, we're royal security."
"Very well. Then you can make sure that I also reach groundside safely."
"But our orders were to take, Mr. Smith."
"Your sacred charge, young man, is the personal safety, the life itself, of your prince. If you think I endanger it, you are sadly mistaken about the source of danger. I suggest you need to have a long talk with the Crown Council. I went out of my way, at my own expense, to bring this young man safely home from a life-threatening situation. It might be asked where you, the Royal Security, were when he was being shot at."
"Shot at?"
Harris wished Cecilia had not said so much. Clearly this man had not heard the whole story.
"But he was on a training mission with the military guard."
"Perhaps your superior will, if you prove discreet, tell you the whole truth later. Suffice it to say that my honor and my family's honor is involved in this, and I will witness Mr. Smith's delivery to his father myself. You will find that his father agrees, should you care to take it that far."
"Yes, madam."
"I will not require my maid's attendance, since I expect to travel directly to my brother's residence once I've spoken to the king. I am ready."
Cecilia glanced back to find Gerald and his luggage in the passage behind her, took her small case from her maid, and stepped forward. The royal shuttle eased into atmosphere with hardly a shiver in its silken ride. Four Royal Aerospace Service single-seaters flanked it, and another pair led it in. Cecilia divided her glances between the viewports — she had always liked watching planetfall — and the security men, who avoided meeting her gaze. She enjoyed the excellent snack a liveried waiter served her. The prince, she noticed, waved it away, and the security men drank only water. Two flitters waited on the landing field, both dark blue, both with the crown seal in gold and scarlet. Honor guards stood by both. Cecilia shook her head. It wasn't going to work. She would see to that.